Good morning, everyone. All right, a few announcements. Just to remind everybody of the Agape's Kids Community Kitchen. This month it is hot and cold cereal. They're on the back for anybody who wants to drop anything off. I've been advised there are 3 calendars left. Get them while they're there. See Kim. This weekend coming is the Craft and Art Winter Wonderland Show. We need volunteers. So if you want to contact Carolyn, if you have time to come and give us a hand. There are other announcements in the bulletin.
Good morning. Welcome as we gather for worship this morning. Remembrance Sunday is important to us here as we honor the brave people who have served and who continue to serve our country through the Canadian Armed Forces during times of war, conflict, and peace. And so as we do at the beginning of every worship service, we situate ourselves on this land, the traditional territory of the Ongkwehonwe. Remembering that some of us come from families who have lived on this land from time immemorial. Others of us have come from families who have lived here for generations. And others still have only just more recently settled in this area. And we're able to live here because of the Epicanda Treaties of 1764 to 1836. Today especially we remember and give thanks for all Indigenous people who served with the Canadian Armed Forces. National Indigenous Veterans Day was November 8th. They have their own special day. And we pause to lament the injustice in our own country who required such individuals to give up their treaty rights, cutting them off from their home communities in order to serve. May we move ever forward along the path of respect and restitution. And as we begin our worship service on this day of remembrance, let's begin by singing our national anthem. And as we remember, we turn to the famous poem written by John McCrae in Flanders Fields. In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the lark still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Fields. And so we remember those who lay in Flanders Fields, in other battlefields, those also who came home forever changed. And in your bulletins, you will have a list of the names of all who served, who were part of this congregation. Their names are also on the walls, but we honor those who served, those who never came home, and those who came home forever changed. And at this time, our children would like to lay a wreath in remembrance. Thank you. And let's join in the act of remembrance. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. Let's take a moment for the last post and a bit of silence. Please be seated. And thank you, Judy, for playing. As we begin our service this morning, I'd like to invite you to join in the call to worship. On this day of memory, we gather to sing and to pray. We remember the past. Pray for our present and work for our future.
Remember
Today we take time to honor all who have sacrificed life, limb, and well-being to answer the call for help and to defend the vulnerable. And so as we worship, we remember that we are partners and participants in the work of God. Let's open our hearts and our minds in prayer. God of justice and of peace, we turn to you, aware of the costliness of human history and seeking a better way. Meet us as we worship this day. Ground us in your deep love for each and every one of us, and give us the courage we need to continue following in your way. Amen. I invite you to join together and sing God as with Silent Heart. Let's join in our prayer of confession. Holy God, violence and hatred have so often overwhelmed our world. Today we remember and work to change our ways as we acknowledge that, even in our own lives, hatred sometimes obscures love, and violence sometimes overcomes peace. Heal us, O God. Help us as we work for peace in our homes, our community, our church, and our world. Call us again to live lives of love, caring, generosity, and concern. This we ask in the name of Jesus the Christ, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Well, friends, receive the vision of the prophets who say, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. So trust the God who longs for peace. We are forgiven, we are strengthened, we are empowered to be peacemakers in our world. Thanks be to God. Let's join together and we'll sing Peace for the Children. And for Time for the Young at Heart, I know we often come sit here, but I'm going to ask that you stay there and I'll come to you so that we don't disrupt the wreaths, okay?
Peace.
prayer for illumination. Holy God, open our hearts to your truth. Open our minds to your challenge. Guide us and sustain us in our journey with you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our first focus lesson this morning is from Psalm 127. Unless God builds the house,
its builders have labored in vain.
Unless God watches over the city,
those who keep watch stay awake in vain.
In vain you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil.
For those whom God loves are given sleep.
Truly, children are a gift from God, and offspring a reward from God's hand.
Like arrows in a warrior's hand, so indeed are the children of one's youth.
Happy are those who have their quiver full of them.
They will not be put to shame when they meet their adversaries at the gate.
Our second focus lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verse 38 to 44. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." May our sacred story help us as Knox St. Paul United Church to hear God's continuing call to us.
Thanks, Christine. And my apologies, I didn't realize that the mic pack was actually turned off. That's why I usually carry it with me so I can see the color of the light. So during the children's time, I apologize. Will you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be inspired by you this day. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Almost 90 years ago, with the rise of fascism in pre-World War II Germany, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a book entitled The Cost of Discipleship. This theologically dense book asks the question of what it takes to be followers of Jesus. And it proclaims that yes, we are absolutely gifted by God's grace, by God's own action, through nothing that we can ever do to earn it. And at the same time, he acknowledges that this is a costly grace because it requires a response. It calls for our discipleship, and it calls for us to follow in the ways of Jesus. The thing is, Bonhoeffer didn't just write about it. He lived it. Now, Bonhoeffer was a professor of theology and had a coveted professorship at Union Theological Seminary in New York. And he could have stayed there for the entirety of the war if he wanted. Instead, he chose to go back to his homeland of Germany in hopes of accompanying his people through this time of conflict. And it was there that he began working with the underground church, a church that would not be towing the line of Nazi rhetoric and rule, but the church who would follow Christ's teachings, unlike some of the other churches that felt forced to bow to that other rule. And it was there, in Germany, working with the underground church, that Bonhoeffer was arrested for being part of a plot to assassinate Hitler. And it was there where he was eventually and intentionally hanged in a concentration camp mere days before it was liberated by Allied forces. So he didn't just write about the cost of discipleship. He lived it. And we know the cost of discipleship is not always an easy cost to bear. This cost is one that was borne by the widow in today's scripture reading, literally giving her last 2 cents to the temple. And we could praise her for her sacrificial giving, and many have throughout the years. This widow could easily stand in opposition to the rich young man who wouldn't sell all his belongings and follow Jesus, calling us to trust that God would provide is definitely one way that we could read the story. And yet, I don't know that that is what Jesus was doing. The scripture isn't just about the widow. It's also about a certain group of scribes. Not all the scribes, but this one group that Jesus was pointing out, these well-respected religious leaders and teachers who have places of power thanks to their work with the temple. And like any number of people who find themselves in positions of power, people in every time, every place, regardless of religion or ethnicity, some fall prey to that need to be superior. And this particular group milked it for all it was worth, bleeding their people dry so that they could maintain a sense of superiority. And before witnessing the widow giving her all to the temple, Jesus had called this behavior out to his disciples, pointing out their sense of superiority and how their practice of it was devouring the widow's houses. In short, he was pointing out how these leaders were actually ignoring the teachings of their religion, that religion they all practiced, Jesus and his followers included. Judaism, after all, has measures in place to care for the most vulnerable in their midst. And when we read through the Torah and the writings of the prophets, the Hebrew Bible, as we might call it, we encounter over and over again this mandate to care for the widow, the orphan, and the immigrant. In our day and age, we might want to add other groups of people to that list, but the point is the same. Our faith calls us to look out for the most vulnerable people in a way that sees to both the immediate needs as well as a deeper, more political kind of justice that sees to a more everlasting need. And it was after he called out this privileged group of people using their privilege to gain more power and more riches that Jesus sat down in the temple, across from the treasury, to watch what people gave. And as the people came and went, placing their offerings in one of several trumpet-shaped urns, he noticed this widow and pointed her out to his followers. Here she was with her 2 pennies. 2 pennies, 2 little coins that would not have made much of a sound as they found their way down into the urns of the treasury. Unlike the other donations from more financially well-to-do folks, whose abundance of coins would have rung out. Clearly, this widow hadn't given much. Yet Jesus pointed out just what it was that she did give. She gave her all. And it stood in contrast to the absolute opulence of the building and that particular group of well-to-do religious leaders. And so this week, as I read the scripture, in my mind's eye, I was imagining Jesus continuing the conversation with his disciples from what we read in our scripture today. And this conversation doesn't just exist in this passage, but it's present throughout his whole ministry, the emphasis on the absolute need to care for the most vulnerable people, the folks who find themselves on the margins. For some time already in Mark's gospel, Jesus had been preparing the disciples to take on leadership roles in ministry. And this was a call to remember why we do what we do, why we give so much of our time, our effort, our resources, as we follow in God's way. It's not about keeping up appearances or becoming powerful. It's about living into the fullness that God intends, the fullness that sees everybody in all creation thriving. At this time of year, as we remember those for whom war cost everything, their lives, and those for whom war took so much, their livelihood, their mental health, their physical health, their homes, their families, their well-being, we're called to reflect on the cost of discipleship, which might be summed up in this way. God calls us to pay attention to power and privilege, both the power and privilege that we have as individuals, and the power and the privileges wielded by our leaders and our institutions. God calls us to use this power and privilege in ways that serve the most vulnerable around us, even when that means standing up to the lions of injustice and the powers that be as we follow in Jesus' way. This, after all, is one of the ways that we can share Christ's grace in the world so that all, each and every one of us, live into the fullness that God intends. And as we help to build a city where no one journeys alone. And so as we do this work, I'll leave you with a prayer that I recently came across, and it was entitled A Franciscan Version of the Serenity Prayer for Our Times. I don't actually know who wrote it. It goes like this. God, grant me the patience to work with the unjust systems I cannot change today, the courage to strategically enact progress when I know I can, and the wisdom to know that despite structural oppression, I can still make a difference. Amen. We're going to join together and sing I Saw the Rich Ones. As you find your seats, this is a time for faith sharing, a time when you are welcome to come and share a story about perhaps where you've seen God at work in the world, ways that the church has inspired you or some of the scriptures have inspired you recently. And if no one wants to come and share, we will take a moment and just sit quietly and let God share with us directly. So Cheryl posted on a community page on Facebook and asked if I would read this. And so it says, because I have the time, I'm coordinating a joint help venture. I'm asking our Cornwall community to remember those families that are struggling. There are lots of help for the kids. Let's also remember the moms and mom figures, dads, grandparents, guardians. Send me a direct message with their story about the special person, and together we can give a nice gift to a local mom. So far I have two gifts ready, but I can absolutely make more. All donations matter because they add up. I can accept donations wherever you see me, at home, McDee's on Brookdale. Come see me and not the staff, or we can make arrangements. And around December 10th, I will ask those people that wrote me their notes to pick up their gift so that they can be Santa for this special person. This is similar to my Crochet Poppy campaign. If you'd like, I can instant message you about that too. Thank you.
My thought was that I have crocheted items.
I know you don't like it.
Hello? Is that good? My thought is that I have crocheted items, and there's lots of kids out there, struggling families or even not struggling families, that they would like to give their moms or their mom figures a nice gift at Christmas time. I'm asking for donations, and whether it's one donation or a dollar here and there, if I can reach the donations, I'm happy to give these people that write me notes, and they can give their mom a nice gift. So if I get donations for $10, I have a little Grinch towel that is for the kitchen towels. If I get donations for $50, I have a crocheted tablecloth for the person to give their mom or mom figure so that mom can open something nice under the tree Christmas morning. I was a single mom, and it was very nice watching my daughter be happy and opening her gifts, but I didn't have much for myself. So I would like to think of the moms and mom figures.
We always think of Remembrance Day as the day we remember when the guns went silent. But what I'm thinking of is a different silence. I remember every Remembrance Day, Robert Petinga would come up and tell a story about his life living through the war. As a young person, I never had to experience that. I never went through any of that. So the stories are the only thing that we have to hold on to. But it's silent now. The people who used to tell us the stories aren't around anymore. We have to not forget what happened, not just to the people who fought, but for the people who lived through these wars. They have stories to tell too. So hopefully, as the generations go on, we don't forget their stories, even if they're not here to tell them anymore.
I'm Judy Pendinga. I will tell one of Robert's war stories. He and his family were at home one day, and there came a knock at the door. They went and opened the door, and there was a young German soldier there who said, "I am to be billeted here tonight," in German. Robert's father spoke German, so he was able to understand what was going on. He said to the young man, "Let me see your paper." The young man showed it to him, and Robert's father said, "You have the right number, but it's the wrong street. You have to go one street over." Here was the young man with his rifle and a bayonet on the rifle and a pack by his side. He took from the pack a loaf of black rye bread, took his bayonet, cut the bread in two, and said, "You must be hungry. Take this." And I think that was part of the formation of Robert's will to be a minister of God and to work as hard as he could so that peace would be the world standard rather than war and fighting and recrimination and evil. Thank you.
I have a story to tell that happened to an uncle of mine. Both of my mother's brothers were serving overseas, and my grandmother, who was raised a Methodist, a minister's daughter, and believed in prayer and in our belief system and our support, she prayed daily, maybe more than once, for those two boys. They both came home. But one story that I have many, but this one I like to tell because it tells about the strength of our faith and our prayers. One of my uncles was in Italy, and he was away from the camp for some reason, in the dark, in a blackout. It gets very dark in Europe. I don't know why, but it does. Maybe the mountains, I don't know. But he was walking along, and he had in his hand and in his pocket a penknife. That was all he had. And all of a sudden, he put his foot in front of him, and there was nothing there. So he put his foot to the side, and there was nothing there. He put his foot behind his other foot and checked the other side. There was nothing there. He turned himself around and got back off that, whatever it was he'd walked out on. Prayer is more powerful than we know. Amen.
I found this last week to be a very difficult week with some very difficult news. I don't know how everybody else is feeling, but I didn't actually think Trump was going to win. I truly didn't believe it, but it came true. So I read an article that someone had posted on Facebook. It was scathing and terrifyingly true, and it made me feel very scared. What's going to happen to the world? But I woke up in the middle of the night that day, that night after reading that article, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, just lift up love, lift up care, kindness,
hope, to bring a balance. What it just didn't feel balanced, right? The world felt like, whew. And so that's my determination. And I invite you to join me on that journey. So we take time right now to present our offering and our prayers. So often, loving God, we feel inadequate to the need, yet you call us to give what we have to share. We ask for your blessing on these gifts, knowing that each one counts, especially when they are collected together. May we, what we offer become justice and peace in the world all around. Amen. Before we begin praying, there is a refrain to this one. Response, not refrain. We're not singing. When I say faithful God, you answer, remember them now and for all the time to come. Shall we try that? Faithful God, remember them now and for all the time to come. Let's pray. God of all the ages past, hope of years to come. We gather in the season of remembrance, grateful that you hold each one of us in your memory and your mystery, now and for all the time to come. Today we remember all those who have served to uphold justice and freedom in the wars of the last century, in conflicts of our own generation, and in peacekeeping and relief efforts around the world. Especially we pray for those who have died in the service and for those who carry scars on body and soul having returned from the conflict. We remember their courage and we pray for their families who still ache for lives surrendered at great cost. Faithful God, remember them now and for all the time to come. O God, we remember before you the victims of current conflicts, hiding in forgotten corners of the world, longing for safety and for peace. We remember victims of violence in our own country, still fearful and uncertain about what the future holds. Give us the courage to speak out for their protection and recovery. Faithful God, remember them now and for all the time to come. O God, we remember all who carry on under the burden of sad and hard memories, all who are weighed down by grief, disappointment, anger, pain, and loss. Inspire us to offer a listening ear and an understanding heart whenever we can. Faithful God, remember them now and for all the time to come. O God, we remember those around us who struggle to remember day by day, those who fear forgetting those who matter most to them, and those who face the fear of being forgotten. Help us remember to reach out in comfort and support so that no one is forgotten. Faithful God, remember them now and for all the time to come. God of all the ages past, hope of years to come, help us to remember you day by day. Strengthen us to be disciples of your word so that hope is renewed in our lives, in your church and in the world. For the sake of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to join together and sing Though Ancient Walls.
Ancient walls, they still stand proud at this.
as we take our leave this day, the blessing I'm about to give comes from the Franciscan community. I've apparently leaned into them a bit this week. So this is a Franciscan blessing. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and to turn their pain to joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in the world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children and the poor. Amen.
Thank you.